This week, the province's Forest and Environment Minister approved the environmental assessment for the Site C Dam. And the $8 billion project would generate enough electricity to power the equivalent of about 450,000 homes each year. And it would also flood, though, about 100 kilometers of the river valley, or the equivalent of 14 Stanley Parks. And that's near Fort St. John, of course. And the federal government also approved the project, saying the benefits of clean energy outweigh any environmental costs. Now, to talk about some of these issues, I'm joined by our reporters on the ledge at 8:23 here on Daybreak. First of all, Justine Hunter, she covers the ledge for the Globe and Mail. Justine, good morning.
Good morning, Russell.
And Les Lane has joined us this morning. He's a columnist with the Times Colonist in Victoria. He covers the ledge, of course. And Les, good morning to you.
Hello, Russ.
Why don't we start with Justine and tell me, what are you hearing about the Site C Dam right at the ledge? I can't help but think that some of this actually might be wishful thinking on the part of the government.
Well, it's funny. I'm sitting in the studio here in Victoria with the legendary Les Lane, and he and Vaughn Palmer from the Vancouver Sun, also an incredibly astute columnist, both sat through a press conference with Bill Bennett, the energy minister, this week, and they both came to entirely different conclusions about what it is the government's planning to do. So now my impression, and I think Les will disagree with me here, is that Bennett may be telegraphing some second thoughts about this. You remember it was a Gordon Campbell idea to dust this off. And at that time, you know, there wasn't as much concern about BC Hydro's debts and about their ability to deliver on a on budget major mega project. And this project wasn't clashing then with liquefied natural gas ambitions in quite the way it is now. So all those factors, I think, may have tempered some of the enthusiasm around the cabinet table.
So Les, how much do you disagree with that?
Well, not at all. Mr. Bennett's done a great job of leaving a scenario where you can guess 50-50 either way and make it look viable.
But he just threw a spitball at me, so yeah.
Yeah.
now, kids, no fighting. But so do you think that perhaps, you know, the environmental assessment might be just more or less, let's just get it out of the way. We probably won't do this, but let's at least get it out of the way.
No, I think that was kind of a big hurdle. They spent a year or so looking into that.
Yeah.
It is a green light. It was actually the last green light you need before they pull the trigger on this, and now they have to consider all, you know, the 100 other options as well. The one big one, I guess we'll discuss eventually, I think, that's becoming more and more important day by day is the First Nations, Aboriginal, the accommodation and recognition of their interest. They've got interest. They're opposed, at least one of them is opposed to the dam. And Mr. Bennett conceded they're not going to change their mind at this point. They're going to keep trying. But that is emerging as one of the big, one of the single biggest issues in terms of go or no go on this project.
And Justine, you wrote about that in the Globe as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, it casts a shadow on Christy Clark's recent promise to build a new relationship with First Nations in the wake of that landmark Supreme Court decision on the Silcoteen land claims. So you've got the government. We heard Mary Polak earlier this week on your show saying, "Well, we're in negotiations with five of the seven First Nations, but they haven't. You know, look at it another way. They haven't got a single agreement yet, and they've been at this for years. So, you know, the government can try and work with the First Nations, but they know they're not going to get agreement with all of them. So, I think if they do go ahead with the construction, it's almost guaranteed that they will be facing off in court, and that'll put the government in the position of saying those Aboriginal rights have less value than the government's desire for this project, and I don't think that's going to help those that new relationship at all.
I want to ask about BC Hydro's role in all of this. I mean, it used to be such a moneymaker for the province. Where is it right now in the midst of all this, Les?
Well, it's been battered and bruised, I would think, over the years. They obviously just imposed, we're 1 year into a five-year plan to hike rates up by 28%. And that reflects a lot of questions about management of issues over the years. They've been dinged several times by independent watchdogs for this practice of just parking billions and billions of dollars worth of debt in these deferral accounts, meaning they're just putting costs off and pretending they're not really there. They're going to have to pay that money back, and they means we in this case, which is obviously why our rates are going to be climbing very much higher over the next 4 or 5 years at least. They haven't built a dam in, what, a generation, 30 years? They were parked, I guess, for most of the last decade by the emphasis on independent power production around BC. And they had any number of kind of, you know, the high-profile issues about overpaying managers and whatnot. They're not kind of the shining light that they were for a generation or before. And they used to hand over millions of dollars every year to government. And those days, those dividend payments, they call them, they're coming to an end as well.
And Justine, just to wrap up, you know, what Minister Pollack said to us is that, you know, a lot of this stuff is necessary for a lot of the industrial projects that are going to be starting up around British Columbia, whether it's mining, whether it's LNG. How much do you think that will grease the wheel, so to speak, to get this project a reality?
Well, yeah, there's especially in the north where you've got this industrial boom, you know, whether it's mining or if LNG gets off the ground or not, there's still a lot of other projects on the go. The government needs to find a way to supply more power. That seems to be pretty clear. I think what the environmental assessment panel said, though, is that they have some questions about whether this is the best project, because they couldn't take BC Hydro at its word on what this project will actually cost. So how do you say that this is the best deal? They said the solution is to send it to the BC Utilities Commission for further scrutiny. The government doesn't want to do that. So it's all going to come down to a cabinet decision on Bill Bennett's recommendation next month of whether to spend the money and go ahead and push through. And I think that's going to be it'll be a legacy one way or the other. But whether it's a legacy that's going to look good on this government if they end up in court is a big question.
All right. Well, we got to leave it there. But thanks so much for joining us this morning. And Les and Justine, all the best for your weekend. And hopefully we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Russell.
Bye-bye. Justine Hunter covers the ledge for the Globe and Mail, and Les Lane is a columnist for the Victoria Times Colonist. And we want to hear what you think about this, of course, and you can tell us on our listener line, 1-866-340-1932.